The West Live.
The West Live.
With Jenna Clark.
I'm very excited about this. It's my favourite friend, senior reporter from the West Australian. I'm going to call you a fashion victim, maybe, Ben Harvey.
Morning.
And Crime Stoppers legend, Sergeant Mick Slaughter. G'day.
Hi, Jenna. How are you?
So nice to see you.
Good to see you too.
Now, I'm probably a little bit prone to living on the internet and things like that. You have got some tips for us how to avoid being sucked in by scammers.
Yes.
And tell me, how do you two know each other? Are you just having coffee and you decide to roll in?
I always carry a bodyguard, 6'5", and well armed, which is why Mick is with us. Now, unfortunately, Westlife's not a visual medium, so we can't actually show the scale of Sergeant Mick Slaughter. But he is a man mountain and he carries a gun, so he's probably less likely to be scammed than someone that looks like an unarmed hobbit like me. But we've got a few. We've got a few tips about what to do if you think you're the subject of a scam. And this is mainly people like my mum who live in constant fear that they are going to rip her off. Old Lady Harvey is terribly worried about
they. Stop speaking like that about your darling mother. Because you're the one that's probably going to rip her off.
Nick, how do you stop getting scammed?
Well, as we know, the internet is the place that scams occur. It's a fabulous medium for the scammers to partake in that. They have the get-rich-quick schemes, competitions and lotteries and dating websites, of course, as well. So with that advancement of technology, we've got the emails, the text messages, as well as the phone calls.
Sure.
So it's a fast and efficient method to forward those unsolicited scams. And they send it out to multiple people. It's not just one or two. They send it out to thousands, even tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands on occasions. So what the inquirer requires is a response. Once there's a response, that's how it starts. And your personal information can be passed over if you make contact. So the first thing is if you get an unsolicited email or text message, delete it. Don't respond.
So when in doubt, delete.
Absolutely. If you think it's too good to be true, it most likely is. Simple as that. So obviously there are very vulnerable people in the community, elderly, as we've just mentioned, as well as those who don't use technology much.
Sure.
My wife's a perfect example. She doesn't use technology much at all.
Careful, Mick. Mick.
I know, I'm dead when I go home. But no, she struggles with technology and she's the first to admit it. So my advice to anyone like that is don't touch things that you don't know about. So if you get an email, a text message, delete it. If you're unsure, ask someone. There are lots of people, we know lots of people, and even if you want to contact Crime Stoppers and ring and say, look, I've received this text message, what should I do? They can provide some advice. There are experienced coppers in there who deal with this sort of thing very often. So please make contact to someone who you trust to get that second opinion if you're in doubt.
There are obviously a lot of, even though we are aware we are getting scammed, we are still falling for it with alarming regularity. The Department of Consumer Protection has just released some stats showing that just on investment scams, now this is not the Nigerian prince that's telling you that you're going to inherit an inheritance windfall. This is people saying, I've got this investment, give me your money, I'll give you a 10% return kind of thing. We lost in WA nearly $7 million this financial year alone to these scams. And they're very, very sophisticated, Mick.
They sure are. And if you don't invest in anything you're not absolutely sure about. Simple as that. Because if I came up to you and said, would you like to invest $10,000 in something, you'd be going, well, what is it?
I'd be saying,
lots of
that's
research.
A nice looking gun. I will do whatever you tell me to, Sergeant Mick Slaughter.
For the sake of this segment, I do not have a gun on me. Thought I'd better explain that one.
Someone's been watching too much Water Rats.
I reckon we're about to see, this is actually a serious point, I think we're about to see a serious uptick in the number of scams, particularly on mobile phones. And I say that because every time we go to a bar or a restaurant at the moment, we put our name and our phone number down. You write it down. Now, we just give it up every time because we just think, well, we've kind of forfeited our right to privacy nowadays anyway. But all those millions of sheets of paper, you can't tell me all of them are going to get shredded, which means there's going to be some people that grab them and will be hitting up mobile phone numbers with offers of XYZ.
Yeah, well, that could happen, and we hope that those operators who have those sheets do the right thing by them, so disposing of them correctly once they're no longer required. Obviously, they're there for a reason for tracking in relation to COVID, So, we trust that those with those sheets will do the right thing at the conclusion of this incident.
So what happens if you actually chase the rabbit down the burrow and before you know it, you've handed over details and you're stung? You've lost your money.
Well, any person who thinks they've been scammed should report the matter to police immediately. Where false documents or fraudulent financial data is provided to the victim to encourage that transaction, we ask that that they contact police and let us know what's occurred. Mm-hmm. The worst case scenario is it may be a civil matter. So we may be able to tell you, look, it is a civil matter. You'll have to proceed, get onto ScamNet and let them know about that type of incident that occurred. Maybe they can help you.
Mm-hmm. The banks do seem to be quite good at refunding money if you can prove that it is a genuine scam.
I had my FPOS card scammed in Sydney a couple of years ago, and the bank actually made me aware of it before I copped on. So that was pretty good, and they refunded it immediately and then made all of the safety measures around that. But it made me very vigilant around.
Jenna is actually not exposed to this because she doesn't have credit cards. She's one of those weird people that only buys things that she can afford to buy.
Under the mattress, my friends.
We've actually got on our Crime Stoppers page on page 57 of the West Australian today, very good value at $1.50. You can help fight crime like I do with Sergeant Mick. We've got a credit card fraud, Mick, is one of the ones that we're trying to solve.
Yes, this one is somewhat unusual, but I'm sure it has happened before, but this is quite unique for Crime Stoppers to have it on our page. This is the basic story. A man lost his wallet containing his driver's licence, credit card and Medicare card. Now, it's only three documents in Perth on Friday the 28th of February. The man found out later that these lost documents were used to obtain a line of credit in his name.
Of course.
So on Wednesday the 4th of March, a man and woman attended a mobile phone store in Booragoon and bought seven iPhone 11 Pros, not just the iPhone 11s, they're expensive enough, but the Pros as well, to the value of almost $14,000 using that line of credit.
Wow.
So what's happened is they've applied for it online using those documents that they had stolen, pretending to be that person. They got the approval to their email address, and they did the online transaction with the iPhones there and then. They then went to the store with those three documents and proved to the staff that was them to collect the phones. So it's quite an ornate scam. And
Can't these people put their evil genius to good use? I could never think of that kind of scam. It'd be exhausting.
Because, credit card, Medicare, and what was the other one?
Driver's license.
Oh, well, that's more than 100 points right there, isn't it?
Exactly. Got to be careful where your wallet is and know as soon as it gets lost, you need to report it stolen. You can report it stolen to Department of Transport and they will release another one without a charge.
Yep.
As well as your credit card is a no-brainer. You have to let the bank know as soon as you know it's missing.
Yeah.
Is there anything more painful than having to ring up all your direct debits at Synergy and Horizon and Watercorp and all the banks and get them to reissue number? Oh, God.
Yes, very frustrating. So in the paper, as Ben said, we've released some CCTV images of a man and woman. The man is described as light-skinned, around 25 years of age, thin build and facial hair. He's wearing a pretty distinctive fluorescent yellow top with a bit of an emblem on the left chest. So hopefully someone out there can recognise where that comes from. As well as the light-skinned female was about 25 years of age, thin build and long blonde hair tied up. So we're very hopeful of identifying who these are. They're obviously up to no good. But as they left the store, they were met up by a third person who was a man and off they walked. So maybe it sounds like
he was the mastermind.
Maybe.
Now that's quite a sophisticated one, but then we've got some pretty basic, dumb as a bag of nails kind of crimes that we're trying to solve as well, Mick.
Yeah, well, there's also a fraud today that involves a wallet that was stolen out of a car, I'm just grabbing it now. And what they do is steal it out of the car and then go to the store and you use it, just like you and I would.
Like a tap-and-go type thing.
Like a tap-and-go type of thing. They don't have to prove who they are. And all of a sudden, they've got their alcohol or groceries or whatever it is that they wish to take. So you've got to know where your wallet is. We keep saying it, but leaving it in a car is inexcusable. We all make mistakes. I understand that. But you just need to make sure. When you hop into bed, make sure you know where your wallet is. If it's in the car, go and grab it. Yeah. Bring it inside. It's safer inside your house than in a car.
Is this the one? This is one in Ellenbrook, is it?
Yes, that's the one.
The most interesting thing about this story is the crime occurred on a street called Carver Pass, which just kills me every time I read it. Such is the juvenile nature of my tiny
brain. Is that what you were laughing about yesterday when you were putting this page together?
Yeah, anyway.
Maybe.
We've got a couple of others that we're trying to get to the bottom of.
Yep, there's also a stealing in Bealeah Drive in Success. I can never say that.
Bealeah Drive.
Bealeah. I'll get to it one day. Yeah. Around 2 p.m. on Saturday the 20th of June, two women entered a department store on Bealeah Drive. The women selected several items of clothing and removed barcodes, the security tags and things like that.
Yep.
And they remained in the store for about an hour, which is always a pretty good sign that something
up to no good.
Untoward is happening.
Yeah.
So when the women went to leave, they were approached by staff but kept walking and had a bit of a stoush with security.
Uh-huh.
And the women had two young female children with them at the time, so obviously teaching them not the right way to go about things. So the first woman is described as light-skinned, about 30 years of age, and the second woman is also light-skinned, an older woman, about 50 years of age. So those images are also in the West, mm-hmm. as well as on the WA Police Facebook page this morning.
Sure. Is that unusual these days with just like the petty sort of shoplifting type thing?
No, they're not uncommon at all, unfortunately.
Yeah.
In these economic times where businesses are struggling, they just can't afford to lose $200 in that instance of clothes. That's just one store. So we're very keen to identify who these are to stop them from doing it again, hopefully, as well as be a deterrent for others.
Yeah, what do you do if you see someone pinching?
Notify staff members would be the number one thing. I would recommend not getting involved because the problem is you don't know whether those people could be armed and they might become violent. So if you can take a photo discreetly with your mobile phone, that would be great.
Photo assist with or vision?
Vision of any sort, whether it be a photo or video.
Yeah.
I would recommend not getting involved directly.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to be so careful these days.
So what would you do, Mick, if you saw, if you don't have the uniform on, you're not packing a weapon.
Oh my God.
Sorry. I saw 5 seasons of The Wire, so I know the job.
Oh, I love
that
show.
You see something happening. What would you do when you're out of uniform?
Well, I think it was early last year. I was on a bus and a guy went up to the bus driver with an oxy torch type thing.
What?
One of those campfire things. And he was flaming it at the driver. And I thought, okay, well, he was inside the cage, the driver, so I thought he would be okay. Went down the back of the bus and then did it to another passenger. I thought, okay, enough's enough. So I went and grabbed him and arrested him, told him who I was, and just dealt with it like that. So in my case, I'm comfortable to do that, as Ben said.
Something happened between grab him and arrest him that would involve raining hammer blows. I'm 6 foot five in the air.
I gave him a big bear hug from behind. So It was it was very, very tame in many ways, but he got charged and ended up getting a suspended jail sentence. So that was a good result, but
It was a suspended jail sentence. Didn't even go inside.
Well, God. All we do is provide the evidence to the court, so that's all I can say. So anyway, but the point is I'm quite a large person, as Ben has said, so I'm not as afraid as what someone who's smaller and thinner would be.
This isn't a body-shaming segment, guys. Everyone looks great.
You mentioned something about my size, but didn't actually describe which way. But anyway.
For the record, 6 foot and ripped.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like a block of flats in a blue shirt. I think have we got one more that we need to solve?
Yep.
I say we're going to solve these things like I'm like...
Can you put your cape away, mate? You're not getting your uniform.
We will solve a few of these, I guarantee you, for this week.
Being you, not him.
No, it's a team effort. We rely on media partners like the West to assist us through this, as well as members of the public who give lots of information to us each and every week.
Absolutely.
What's the last one we've got there?
Yep, the assault on Pinjarra Road in Mandurah, about 4:50 p.m. on Saturday, 30th of May.
Mm-hmm.
A woman entered a shopping centre in Mandurah. She entered two stores and hid items of clothing within her own clothing, which left a bit of a bulk sort of look.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do that.
Yeah, it wouldn't look good on me. No. when she was approached by staff, she pushed past them and threw a few punches on the way out. And she entered a third store. How's this? Picking up nail polish tester bottles and threw them at the staff.
Oh,
and then knocked over a display of crockery, causing it all to smash to the ground.
Not the crockery.
Exactly. that's precious stuff. Yeah. And, she walked away from the area, but we're very keen to identify who she is. She's got light brown skin, about 25 years of age, thin build and dark hair tied up. Interestingly, she had, darkness under her eyes, so we think either she hasn't slept for a while Or maybe she's been the victim of an assault that we're not aware of. We're keen to identify who she is for that reason alone, along with what she's alleged to have done on that day.
Theft and violence in Mandurah. Shocking.
So salty this morning. Now, Mick, just before you go, if people feel that they have been scammed, what should they do?
They should report it to police immediately. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, you must let us know, because we can't protect people if we don't know what's happening. It's the same with any offence. If your car gets broken into and nothing's stolen, you need to let us know, because then patrols can be done for that area. So the number one thing is let police know, and also protect yourself. Do not disclose further information than you have to.
If your spider senses are tingling, you've got to trust them. If something seems a little bit off, like why are they asking me this by email? Why are they asking for my home address? That's when you've just got to shut it down.
Yeah, when it doesn't feel right, you need to judge that inner feeling.
Yeah.
Let your bank know if you've been had emails from purporting to be from the bank, because sometimes the websites actually mirror the bank site.
They are good. They're very sophisticated.
I know. I didn't get into one, but I went to see how far I could go without disclosing any information.
Yeah.
And all it was different, there was the same page, but a slightly different link up the top as to what the web page was. Yeah, the URL, that's it. Thank you. Well, I'm the one who's not technologically.
Interestingly, though, because I know a lot of people would probably worry even opening an email or clicking on a text message. Is that when you should start to worry?
Yep, do not click on it. That's my recommendation. Delete the message straight away. Mm-hmm. And don't worry about time frame. If a bank is asking for money or an institution is asking for money, mm-hmm. if you delete one email or one text message, you're not going to get in trouble.
Yeah.
They will recontact you if need be.
Yeah.
So please get rid of the email. You do not want it on your system, because mm-hmm. there's spyware, there's malware, there's all sorts of different things that could be in amongst that message. So please do not disclose any information and let police know.
It seems to be... in terms of phone-based scams on landlines, where a lot of older people will have maintained landlines, they are disproportionately hit by phone scammers.
Yep.
Like if you go to my mum's 71, if you go to her house after about 5 p.m., she would get at least three phone calls an evening.
Yeah.
From someone asking some information.
Yep.
She just lets it go through to the keeper because, as I said, mum is terrified that they are going to get her.
Yeah.
But a lot of people would answer the phone, and before you know it, you've given up all your details.
Exactly. And as I said before, the vulnerable people in the community are the most vulnerable, most at risk.
Mm.
And we urge them not to answer the phone if they know who the number is. Sometimes mm-hmm. on the phone you got the call display.
Yeah.
Try and avoid answering those. And if you do answer them, I would recommend being polite to them mm-hmm. and just saying, "I'm sorry, I'm unavailable at the moment," and then hang up. Don't try and have an argument with them over the phone. You're not really going to accomplish much.
Not good for the blood pressure.
No, absolutely not.
And ring Crime Stoppers, 1-800-333-000.
Yes, absolutely. You can remain anonymous if you wish, as well as there are rewards available for information that leads to arrests.
Absolutely. So. And if you feel like you need more information on scams out there, just visit scamwatch.gov.au. Are you going to visit thewest.com.au today to sign the petition to bring the AFL Grand Final to Perth?
I'm a Melburnian, so should I?
Oh, what? Who let him in the building?
I was not disclosed.
I must explain, I was a Melburnian. I'm now a West Australian, so very proud to be.
He's cured.
Yeah. Are you going to sign?
Yeah, I'll sign it.
Yeah.
Out of sympathy.
Well, thank you so very much for joining us on The West Live.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jenna.
See you again soon.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben Harvey, crime extraordinaire.
Crime fighter. Cape Crusader. Your words, not mine.
Great yarns in the paper today. Definitely read that front page story about what's going on in the Greens party.
Yes, very interesting story.
Indeed. Senior reporter Ben Harvey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.